Section 1. Listening Comprehension. In this section of the test, you will have an opportunity to demonstrate your ability to understand conversations and talks in English. There are three parts to this section, with special directions for each part. Answer all the questions on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in this test. Do not take notes or write in your test book at any time. Do not turn the pages until you are told to do so. Part A. Directions. In Part A, you will hear short conversations between two people. After each conversation, you will hear a question about the conversation. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear,
"I don't like this painting very much."
"Neither do I."
What does the man mean? In your test book, you read, A. He does not like the painting either. B. He does not know how to paint. C. He does not have any paintings. D. He does not know what to do. You learn from the conversation that neither the man nor the woman likes the painting. The best answer to the question, "What does the man mean?" is A. He does not like the painting either. Therefore, the correct choice is A. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part A with the first conversation.
Number 1. Would you like to go to the movies with Lois and me on Friday?
I wish I could, but I'm having dinner at my brother's.
What will the woman do on Friday? Number 2.
Need a hand with those boxes?
That's okay. I can manage. They're empty.
What does the woman mean? Number 3.
Do you want the windows open or closed?
I almost always prefer fresh air, if possible.
What does the man imply? Number 4.
Hello, this is Mark Smith. I'm calling to see if my blood test results are in.
Dr. Miller just sent them to the lab last night, so the earliest they could be back is tomorrow.
What does the woman mean? Number 5.
I need to talk to someone who knows a lot about Portland. Someone said you lived there.
Oh, but I was really young at the time.
What does the woman imply? Number 6.
Do you have to play that music so loud? I've got a test tomorrow.
Sorry, I didn't realize you were studying.
What will the woman probably do? Number 7.
Pam, I don't understand the problem. You've known for months this report was due today.
I know, but I'm afraid I need another few days. The data was harder to interpret than I thought it would be.
What does the woman mean? Number 8.
So how are you getting along with Debbie's cat?
Well, she never comes when I call her. She spills her food, and she sheds all over the place. I can't wait till Debbie gets back.
What does the man imply? Number 9.
This crazy bus schedule has got me completely frustrated. I can't for the life of me figure out when my bus to Cleveland leaves.
Why don't you just go up to the ticket window and ask?
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 10.
I bought this fish to cook for my dinner tonight, but it doesn't look all that fresh to me now. Would you say it's still all right to eat?
Let's take a look. Oh, if I were you, I wouldn't even think of it.
What does the woman mean? Number 11.
Would you like to go with me to the airport to pick up Frank?
I'd like to, but I have class till 2. And I know Frank's decided to take the early flight.
What does the woman imply? Number 12.
Did you catch our very own Professor Stiller on TV last night?
I almost missed it, but my mother just happened to be watching at home and gave me a call.
What does the man mean? Number 13.
These summer days are getting to be more than I can take. It was even too hot to go to the pool yesterday.
Hold on. According to the weather report, we should have some relief by the end of the week.
What does the man mean? Number 14.
My roommate and I have decided to do our own cooking next semester.
Then I hope you'll have a lighter schedule than this term.
What problem does the woman think the man may have? Number 15.
Come on, we're almost there. I'll race you to the top of the hill.
I'm so out of shape, I might have to crawl the rest of the way.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 16.
Yes, hello. This is Robert White calling. Could Dr. Jones see me on Tuesday morning instead of Thursday afternoon?
Tuesday morning? Let's see. Is that the only other time you could come?
What does the woman imply? Number 17.
I really need to make some extra money. I've practically spent my entire budget for the semester.
You should check out the new cafeteria. I think there are a few openings left in the evening.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 18.
These long drives always wear me out. Instead of just stopping at a fast food place, why don't we take some time out for a nice lunch?
That's a great idea. It'll make the trip a bit longer, but at least we'll be refreshed when we get there.
What will the speakers probably do? Number 19.
This notice says that all the introductory psychology classes are closed.
That can't be true. There are supposed to be 13 sections of it this semester.
What does the woman mean? Number 20.
Whoops! Did any of my coffee just spill on you?
Just a little, but it wasn't really hot.
What does the man imply?
Go on to the next page.
Number 21.
Oh, my jacket. The sleeve must have gotten caught on that nail.
Here, let me take a look. With a needle and thread, this can be mended and look just like new.
What does the man mean? Number 22.
I'm looking for a lightweight jacket, navy blue, medium.
Let's see. Have you checked the sales rack in the back? There were still a few there yesterday.
What does the man mean? Number 23.
I've figured it all out. It looks like it'll take us about 6 hours to drive from here to Chicago.
It'd be more relaxing to take the train, but I guess we should watch our expenses.
What does the woman imply? Number 24.
I've been working out at the gym since January. I'd been wanting to get in better shape.
You look terrific. Seems like all your hard work has paid off.
What does the woman mean? Number 25.
This heat is unbearable. If only we'd gone to the beach instead.
Why, with the museums and restaurants in Washington, I'd be happy here no matter what the weather.
What does the woman mean? Number 26.
I can't believe you stayed so calm last weekend when my mom brought my little brother to visit. He practically wrecked the dorm lounge.
Don't be so hard on him. He's only 4.
What does the woman imply? Number 27.
When's a good time to get together to discuss our history project?
Other than this Wednesday, one day's as good as the next.
What does the man mean? Number 28.
Congratulations. I heard your field hockey team is going to the Mid-Atlantic Championships.
Yeah, now we're all working hard to get ready for our game tomorrow.
What will the woman probably do this afternoon? Number 29.
On Saturday evenings, I usually meet some friends for dinner at a cafe near campus. Would you like to join us?
I'm up to my ears in work, so I'll have to take a rain check.
What does the woman mean? Number 30.
If you rub some soap on that drawer, it might stop sticking.
Well, maybe, but if I took out the paper that has fallen down and back, that would help for sure.
What is the problem?
This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part B are being read. Part B. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation.
Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a discussion about the Ice Age.
Hey, Jane. What's so interesting?
What? Oh, hi, Tom. I'm reading this fascinating article on the societies of the Ice Age during the Pleistocene period.
The Ice Age? There weren't any societies then. There were just small groups of people living in caves, right?
That's what people used to think, but a new exhibit at the American Museum of Natural History shows that Ice Age people were surprisingly advanced.
Oh, really? In what ways?
Well, Ice Age people were the inventors of language, art, and music as we know it, and they didn't live in caves. They built their own shelters.
What did they use to build them? The cold weather would have killed off most of the trees, so they couldn't have used wood.
In some of the warmer climates, they did build houses of wood. In other places, they used animal bones and skins, or lived in natural stone shelters.
How did they stay warm? Animal skin walls don't sound very sturdy.
Well, it says here that in the early Ice Age, they often faced their homes toward the south to take advantage of the sun, a primitive sort of solar heating.
Hey, that's pretty smart.
Then people in the late Ice Age even insulated their homes by putting heated cobblestones on the floor.
I guess I spoke too soon. Can I read that magazine article after you're done? I think I'm going to try to impress my anthropology teacher with my amazing knowledge of Ice Age civilization.
What a show-off.
Number 31. What did the man think about people of the Ice Age? Number 32. What does the woman say about the use of wood during the Ice Age? Number 33. How did people in the early Ice Age keep warm? Number 34. What does the man want the woman to do? Questions 35 through 38. Listen to a conversation between two students.
I really appreciate your filling me in on yesterday's lecture.
No problem. I thought you might want to go over it together. And anyway, it helps me review. Hope you're feeling better now.
I am, thanks. So, you said she talked about squid? Sounds a little strange.
Well, actually, it was about the evolution of sea life, a continuation from last week. The octopus and the squid descended from earlier creatures with shells. They survived by shedding their shells somewhere between 200 and 500 million years ago.
That's a pretty long span of time.
That's what she said, though. To be precise, exactly when they emerged is uncertain, and why is still unexplained.
Some squid are really huge. Can you imagine something that big if it still had a shell?
Actually, it's because they lost their shells that they could evolve to a bigger size.
Makes sense. But some are really huge. I've read about fishermen that caught squid that weighed over a ton. Did she talk about how that happens?
Not really, but she did mention some unusual cases. In 1933 in New Zealand, they caught a giant squid. Let's see here. It was 20 meters long. Its eyes were almost 46 centimeters across. Can you imagine?
Reminds me of all those stories of sea monsters.
Professor Simpson thinks there are probably even larger ones that haven't been found because squid are intelligent and fast, so they can easily get away from humans. Maybe some of those monster stories are true.
Number 35. What topic are the man and woman discussing? Number 36. Why does the man need to talk to the woman about the class? Number 37. According to the woman, what happened 200 to 500 million years ago? Number 38. What does the woman imply about sea monsters?
This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear, "Listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program."
"I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful."
Now, listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your test book, you read, A. To demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B. To discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C. To explain the workings of the brain. D. To dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, "What is the main purpose of the program?" is C, to explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your test book, you read A. It is required of all science majors. B. It will never be shown again. C. It can help viewers improve their memory skills. D. It will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, why does the speaker recommend watching the program, is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you are not allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk.
Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a professor talk to new students about an experiment in child development.
In our lab today, we'll be testing the hypothesis that babies can count as early as 5 months of age. The six babies here are all less than 6 months old. You'll be watching them on closed-circuit TV and measuring their responses. The experiment is based on the well-established observation that babies stare longer if they don't see what they expect to see. First, we're going to let two dolls move slowly in front of the babies. The babies will see the two dolls disappear behind a screen. Your job is to record in seconds how long the babies stare at the dolls when the screen is removed. In the next stage, two dolls will again move in front of the babies and disappear, but then a third doll will follow. When the screen is removed, the babies will only see two dolls. If we're right, the babies will now stare longer because they expect three dolls, but only see two. It seems remarkable to think that such young children can count. My own research has convinced me that they have this ability from birth. But whether they do or not, perhaps we should raise another question. Should we take advantage of this ability by teaching children mathematics at such a young age? They have great untapped potential, but is it good for parents to pressure young children?
Number 39. What is the experiment designed to demonstrate? Number 40. Which of the baby's reactions would be significant for the purposes of the experiment? Number 41. How does the professor explain the baby's behavior? Number 42. What implication of her research is the professor concerned about? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to part of a lecture in a geology class.
I'm glad you brought up the question of our investigations into the makeup of Earth's interior. In fact, since this is the topic of your reading assignment for next time, let me spend these last few minutes of class talking about it. There were several important discoveries that helped geologists develop a more accurate picture of Earth's interior. The first key discovery had to do with seismic waves. Remember, they are the vibrations caused by earthquakes. Well, scientists found that they traveled thousands of miles through Earth's interior. This finding enabled geologists to study the inner parts of Earth. You see, these studies revealed that these vibrations were of two types, compression, or P waves, and shear, or S waves. And researchers found that P waves travel through both liquids and solids, while S waves travel only through solid matter. In 1906, a British geologist discovered that P waves slowed down at a certain depth but kept traveling deeper. On the other hand, S waves either disappeared or were reflected back. So he concluded that the depth marked the boundary between a solid mantle and a liquid core. 3 years later, another boundary was discovered, that between the mantle and Earth's crust. There's still a lot to be learned about Earth. For instance, geologists know that the core is hot. Evidence of this is the molten lava that flows out of volcanoes. But we're still not sure what the source of the heat is.
Number 43. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 44. What important discovery about seismic waves does the instructor mention? Number 45. What did the study of seismic vibrations help geologists learn more about? Number 46. What did P and S waves help scientists discover about the layers of Earth? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to part of a talk in an art history class.
You may remember that a few weeks ago, we discussed the question of what photography is. Is it art, or is it a method of reproducing images? Do photographs belong in museums, or just in our homes? Today I want to talk about a person who tried to make his professional life an answer to such questions. Alfred Stieglitz went from the United States to Germany to study engineering. While he was there, he became interested in photography and began to experiment with his camera. He took pictures under conditions that most photographers considered too difficult. He took them at night, in the rain, and of people and objects reflected in windows. When he returned to the United States, he continued these revolutionary efforts. Stieglitz was the first person to photograph skyscrapers, clouds, and views from an airplane. What Stieglitz was trying to do in these photographs was what he tried to do throughout his life, make photography an art. He felt that photography could be just as good a form of self-expression as painting or drawing. For Stieglitz, his camera was his brush. While many photographers of the late 1800s and early 1900s thought of their work as a reproduction of identical images, Stieglitz saw his as a creative art form. He understood the power of the camera to capture the moment. In fact, he never retouched his prints or made copies of them. If he were in this classroom today, I'm sure he'd say, "Well, painters don't normally make extra copies of their paintings, do they?"
Number 47. What is the professor mainly discussing? Number 48. What question had the professor raised in a previous class? Number 49. What does the professor imply about the photograph Stieglitz took at night? Number 50. Why did Stieglitz choose to not make copies of the photographs? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1. Turn off your audio player.